Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi, and we are today going to cover Chapter 5, which is on inventory ordering systems. So, what are the objectives of the inventory optimization? One, provide required level of customer satisfaction by fulfilling customer orders on time and without any shortage. So, as we said, you need to maintain enough inventories so that there are no stockouts, and any customer requirement, even if there is a fluctuation in the demand, especially if there is an increased demand, the organization is able to meet the requirement and there is no loss of opportunity. And the second part is minimize all the costs associated with holding and ordering of the inventory. We have seen it in the previous chapters that you need to minimize the inventory. So you have two conflicting requirements. One is high service level, high availability of the products, at the same time working with low inventory. So as inventory gets consumed in fulfilling the customer orders, it needs to be replenished to keep the continuous supply of material. Now, while ordering the fresh inventory, the material manager has to decide how much quantity should be ordered at one time, so which is the order quantity, and when that order should be placed. So there are two things: the quantity and the timing of placing the order. Every business unit decides to establish a policy in this regard so that the replenishment order of the right lot or the right quantity can be placed whenever the reorder point is reached. And generally, what is the reorder level? The reorder level is the point at which the order needs to be placed. That is the maximum usage per day into the maximum lead time. So assume that the product average consumption is, let's say, 100 per day, but the maximum usage is, let's say, 150. And also the lead time for that product is generally 2 days, but the maximum lead time is, let's say, in exceptional cases, 4 days. So here the maximum usage, which is 150, and the maximum lead time, which is 4 days, will be considered. So it means the reorder level has to be 600. What it means is, suppose the consumption goes exceptionally high and the replenishment time, that means the supplier, takes a little longer to deliver, you should not stock out. And that is the reason we are taking the maximum usage or consumption and the maximum time taken by the supplier to replenish the stocks. The second part is the quantity. How much quantity will you order? So here we come to the reorder quantity, and here we refer to the economic order quantity formula. So we will calculate the economic order quantity, and accordingly we will place the order. So in the absence of such a policy, unreasonable quantities can be ordered, because if you do not have a clear guideline, it becomes very arbitrary and people will go by their judgment. So somebody may feel that we need to order X quantity, somebody else may feel it's Y. And in either case, there is a risk of either facing a stockout or having excess inventory. So coming to the different ordering decisions, the first one is lot for lot ordering. So under this rule, the quantity of the order will be exactly what you require. Suppose you need for one production, a customer order, let's say, you require 500 numbers of component. Then you will order only 500. Now for this, the materials manager requires a time-phased information such as the material requirement plan. Now material requirement planning will be normally generated by the ERP system based on the BOM and the customer requirement. It can be either a firm requirement of the customer, or it can be also the forecast. And the master production schedule, because the master production schedule will say when the production is going to be taken. That means when the material is required in this system. So with these two information, he can plan the material to come in such a way that it doesn't lie in the inventory for long, and exactly the quantity which is required for the production is available. Since items are ordered as per exact requirement, there is no surplus inventory. So you're not bringing anything as a safety stock or as a buffer or anything. What is going to be consumed is what is ordered. It is highly suitable method to order large value A-class items and practice just-in-time system. So this is generally done for raw materials or critical components, which are A-class items, high in value, where you do not wish to hold them for long. And that's the reason you have just-in-time system, where you ask for the material to arrive maybe a day before they are going to be consumed. In automobile industry, it may be arriving just a couple of hours before it is going to be assembled. So this is an example of the fixed order quantity. Here, you have the order quantity which is fixed. There is a reorder level. You can see the gray line here. The maximum quantity you will hold at any given point of time will be the quantity that maximum you will replenish. When the reorder level is reached, you will trigger the replenishment. That means you will place an order for the fresh supply. And it is assumed that before you reach the minimum stock level, which need not be zero, it can be a finite level, the material will arrive. And the moment the material arrives, your stock level goes up. One flaw in this diagram, because it exactly is not this V shape, because when you replenish the stock, it will be replenishing like this in a straight line. So you will have the consumption gradually tapering down the stocks, and when you replenish, it will be at a go. You will replenish your stock to the maximum level. So let's talk about the fixed order quantity. You have the reorder point. Now the reorder point is the maximum usage during the lead time plus the safety stock. So as we saw here, the minimum stock is not necessarily the zero stock, but there is certain buffer or safety stock that you're building in. So your maximum usage during the lead time required to bring the material plus the safety stock. Here in this case, or in such cases, the demand for the item is constant. So that means they are very predictable, and you can use this policy for that. So if demand increases, time interval for placing the order will shorten. So assume that you reach the reorder level faster because the consumption is higher. So in that case, the frequency of ordering will automatically reduce. So earlier, let's say you were ordering every month. Now maybe you will start ordering it after 3 weeks. Okay. Or if the consumption doubles, then you will be ordering every 2 weeks. So if demand falls, the reorder will accordingly get delayed. So the converse is true. Instead of every 4 weeks, maybe you will be required to order it every 5th week or every 6th week, depending upon how much fluctuation or drop in the demand is there. In this case, the average inventory is the safety level plus half the fixed order quantity. So the fixed order quantity, let us say, is 500 and the safety stock is 100. Then the safety stock here will be 100 plus half of the fixed order quantity, which is 500, which becomes to 250. So average inventory will be 350 here. Order after fixed interval. So some business units adopt a policy of placing orders after a predetermined interval rather than the item reaching the reorder point. Now, this happens, normally for the B and the C items. And normally in procurement, you have this monthly cycle. So you have the monthly production, master production plan, where you draw up a plan and say that this is going to be the consumption of a certain item, which is, let's say, a B item. So what you do is, instead of ordering it till it reaches a reorder point, you look at what is the stock on hand as on, let's say, first of the month, and you order the quantity which is required to bring it to the max level. That means whatever is the maximum inventory defined for that product, the difference between the max inventory and the stock on hand. Simple. Maximum level minus the stock on hand becomes your reorder quantity. So they have minimum and maximum level determined. After a fixed interval, say a month, the material manager checks the quantity of an item on hand and order is placed as follows. So here the order quantity is equal to the maximum level minus the stock on hand, what we discussed. Coming to the economic order quantity, so how is it calculated? Now in economic order quantity, we consider what is the cost per order, what is the annual requirement. So let us say that this particular item that we are considering, the demand is 10,000 units per year, per annum. The cost of placing a single order is $2 and the cost of the unit is $8. Now, the carrying cost as a percentage is 2%. That means your inventory carrying cost is 2%. Annual carrying cost per unit will be 16 cents, I'm sorry. So here, how do you calculate the economic order quantity? 2D, which is 2 times the annual consumption, into K, which is the ordering cost, the cost per order, divided by H, which is the carrying cost, annual carrying cost, and you find the square root of that. So here in this particular case, when we are working out the economic order quantity, we find that the answer comes to 500 units. So 10,000 units is what you are purchasing in a year. And based on the above, the inventory carrying cost and the cost per order and the cost per unit, it comes to 500 units is the economic order. Also, the number of orders you will place per annum, per year, will be 20 in this case. Simple, 10,000, which is your annual requirement, divided by your economic order quantity. So that means that you will be placing an order at an average less than a month. So the same example is taken here. 500 units is the economic order quantity. Annual requirement is 10,000 units. So weekly you are going to be using 192 units. So time interval will be about 2.6 weeks. You see, 10,000 divided by 52, because 52 weeks in a year. So it comes to 192 units of consumption per week. So when you say that you're going to procure 500 units, it is roughly 2.6 weeks of stock. But normally you don't operate in fractions. So you can round it off and you can say that we will be placing the economic order, which will be 3 weeks of stock, just to round it off. So carrying cost, cost connected directly with the material. For example, the obsolescence, deterioration, pilferage, these are part of the carrying cost. Also the financial cost, that means the taxes, the insurance for the material, insurance for the warehouse, the storage cost, the interest that you're paying on the capital that you borrow. So all these are added in the carrying cost. We already saw this in the earlier chapter, where we looked at the cost of capital, the loss and breakage, which generally happens. These are thumb rule based on the past experience. And you can see that the total stockholding cost varies between 18% to 30% for organizations. So What are the ordering costs? Now, I normally don't prescribe to this entire list as ordering cost, because generally we consider ordering cost as the time the material is ordered, you know. So the entire ordering process, right up to the time the material is received in the warehouse and it is stacked away. So it would cover the cost of placing an order with the vendor, preparing a purchase order, processing the payment, because obviously when you receive the material, you have to do the inspection, etc. And once you accept the material, that it's a good material, then you have to make a payment based on the payment terms which have been agreed. Receiving and inspecting the material, so you have to unload the material, there is a cost to it, labor is required, machines are required, material handling equipment are required. And then you have to, after inspection, put it away. Sometimes the cost of inspection also can be quite significant, because if you are not relying on the customer's test report, you're drawing samples and you are testing the product again. And the cost of testing the product also can be significant. So the second part is the cost of ordering from the plant. So once the plant plans to start the production, they will issue a requisition for issue of material. Then material will be issued to the production shop floor, machine setup will happen, and after the machine setup is done, they will start and produce some quantity for fine-tuning and setting up the machine. So you have the startup scrap which is generated for getting the production run started. So in the earlier chapter also, I had given you the example that, I have worked in a rolling mill where when you start the initial production, the material comes out in a chewed up form. So all that is going to be scrap until, typically, if you're rolling, the first 30, 40 meters will be not usable, or it will ultimately result in scrap. So these are the startup scrap which are generated when you set up a machine or a process. Coming to setup cost, the cost is common in the industry where production takes place in batches. So if you have a continuous process where there is no changeover, you don't change from one setting to another, one setup to another setup, so there you may not have the setup cost. But wherever you have batch production, the setup cost will be there, because once you discontinue a product and start another product, you have to make changes on the machine. You may have to replace the die. You may have to make adjustments to the machine so that it starts producing the right quality. The cost involved in changeover from one batch to the another is the setup cost, and it includes the labor and time and the extra scrap and rework which is generated. Because as we said, your production is running, you stop the machine, you change the die, etc. So there is a machine downtime, there is a labor time which is required for the setup time, etc. And then the scrap you generate. So setup cost is independent of the new batch size. So we took this example in earlier chapter that whether you are going to produce a batch of 10 numbers or 1,000 numbers, the setup cost will be constant. So when you're changing from X product to Y product, your setup cost will remain the same. Question is, the example we took, 10,000 rupees is your setup cost on account of the machine downtime, the labor and the scrap generated. And if you produce only 10 pieces for the setup, then your cost per unit will be 1,000 rupees. But if you produce 1,000 pieces, or 1,000 units, then your cost, setup cost, which is apportioned or allocated to each component will be only 10 rupees. So this is one of the reasons why we talk about taking longer runs, or rather optimizing the batch size, so that they are not too large that you build up inventories, and not too small where the setup time becomes very, very significant. So this factor stresses the need for a large supply of items under production and holding them in inventory. So you have to find a balance somewhere. you cannot also produce huge quantity and hold it in the inventory just because you want to avoid the setup. At the same time, producing too few cases or few units will increase your overall cost, because your setup cost will go up significantly and the productive time of the machine will be very less, because if you're frequently doing a changeover, changing from one product to the other with multiple setup being done, then this is going to affect your productivity. So economic order quantity, we have already seen it. I will not repeat it. You can refer to the earlier slide. And this is how, you know, the replenishment occurs. The example we will see here, how the fixed order quantity results in different replenishment intervals. So here example taken is, there are 7,800 units of this particular component, which is called as LK056. They are used. We are using 150 numbers per week and 300 units are ordered. So what it means is that we are ordering 2 weeks of supply at a given time. So let us say 300 are ordered here and it will last us for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, we replenish again with 300 and then again it will last us for 2 weeks. Now, 7,800 of this unit, LK056, are used annually and 500 units are ordered. So instead of 300, suppose we order 500. You will automatically see that here the time period becomes roughly about 3.5. Because if you see two cycles, it comes roughly to about 7 weeks. That means each cycle is about 3.5. So what has happened from a reorder cycle or a reorder interval of 2 weeks, you have gone to a reorder interval of about 3.5 weeks by increasing the order quantity. Now coming to the economic order quantity. When you are ordering small quantities multiple times during the year, you will find that your ordering cost is high, because we saw in one of the examples that the ordering cost is $2 per order. So if I order small quantities, multiple orders, my cost will be high. But suppose I order a huge quantity, my ordering cost will still be $2 per order. So as the number of items ordered in a single order increases, the ordering cost is coming down. Conversely, the inventory carrying cost keeps on increasing the more quantity we are holding on hand. So let us say I am holding an inventory of 10 units, then my inventory holding cost will be less. But if I am holding 1,000 units, my inventory cost will be high. And if I am using or holding 10,000 units, my carrying cost, inventory carrying cost will be even higher. Now, if we superimpose both these costs, so you have the ordering cost and you have the inventory carrying cost, and you combine the effect, the cost of both these items, you get a third graph which tells you how your ordering plus inventory carrying cost is going to result in your overall cost or total cost. So as you see, there is one point where your cost is going to be minimum, and that point is your economic order quantity. And the formula is arrived like this, because you have the carrying cost, where you have the carrying cost multiplied by quantity divided by 2, and the order cost, where you have the annual demand and the cost for a single order divided by quantity. So if you are looking at your annual demand divided by the order quantity, it will tell you how many orders in a year you are going to place, multiplied by the ordering cost will tell you what is the total cost incurred. And by resolving this formula, you come to this economic order quantity formula, which we, as we directly saw, that Q is equal to, here this is square root. When you say raised to the power of half, it is nothing but square root. So you get this formula. So this is how the economic order quantity formula is derived.